All right. Let's move on to session two. Now, in this session, we're going to be looking at three pillars that underpin healthy marriages. Three pillars that underpin healthy marriages. I'm an engineer. I work in the construction industry. And for a structure to stand the test of time, it requires to have a firm foundation. It requires to have deep foundations. So this is the principle. The higher you want to go as a structure, the deeper the foundation. And the deeper the foundation, the longer sometimes it takes before we come out of the ground. I don't know if you'd remember the days of when they were constructing the Caltrain. You just see this barricade and there's a big hole there, especially at the Sandton interchange. That thing sits under Sandton City, literally. Where the Caltrain station is situated, it's just underground. Okay? But it had to take so much work before anything could be seen. And the foundation is very basic, so to speak, but very key to a structure. The same is with your marriage. There are certain foundations that are so basic, but key to having a healthy marriage. And so that's what we're going to explore right now. Three pillars. There are many pillars, but we're just going to look at just three for now, because we cannot exhaust everything in one sitting. The first pillar, these are not in order of priority, by the way, because there's a tendency, but if you want, you can prioritize them. Okay, so the first one that we're talking about here is one of the pillars in your marriage is to view marriage as a sexual relationship. Hello? You've got to view your marriage as a sexual relationship. Now, understanding marriage as a sexual relationship will help you to have a healthy marriage. I know there are extremes around this issue of sex in marriage. But the fact that they are fake prophets, it doesn't mean there are no true prophets. The fact that there are extreme views on sexuality, it doesn't mean that it's a principle that we should not actually pay attention to. You know that whole issue of throwing the baby with the water out? Everything. No, we don't need to do that. So sex is so important in a marriage relationship, and yet it has been portrayed in a very destructive way through media. The issue about sex is that everything is sexualized on television. To the extent that sometimes I can't actually watch adverts with my kids because they are selling ice cream, but there's a sex connotation to it. Like, how do you join sex with ice cream? Hello? So the issue here is that it has been put in a different way. When you watch movies, televisions, you read novels, magazines, and billboards, they constantly bombard us with the wrong idea about sex. The wrong idea about sex. Now, sex is a creation of God. The Holy God gave us definite instructions with regards to this issue of sex. Now, whenever a movie depicts sex, it is often portrayed as being driven by steamy hot passion. Yeah? Like these guys can't even get to the bed. By the time they get there, they want to have all their clothes out because it's like, I can't wait, you know. So we have this idea about what sex is supposed to be like. With a show of hands, how many of you have been disappointed in this area? Okay, guys, I'll save you. Don't raise your hands. Yeah. Okay. You see? So something happens. Okay? Reality strikes. The media, the movies shows you that it's steamy, it's passionate, and it takes 26 hours without stop. And you get into marriage with that expectation. You get into marriage and you feel like at a switch like that, things happen and there are fireworks in between the sheets. Come on now. I'm talking to old people here. 90-year-olds. Now, this area is one of the areas that has caused immense problems in marriages. And yet, it's an area that is portrayed as it's easy to get it going. It's easy to make it happen. And people think, I can't wait to get married because I'll be having this woman 24/7. I can't just... You fantasize, Emmanuel. Yeah? You fantasize and you're like, I can't wait 24/7. And then you get into it. 24/7, nothing happens. Hello? 24/7, nothing happens. Zero. Nobody home. And you say, guys, you sold me a dummy. You sold me a dummy. I should not have done this. You'd find that people who are married actually tell you it's actually easy to be celibate. People who are married, they'll tell you it's actually easy to go without. Because of what happens. It's an area that the enemy attacks so much that it is so skewed when you get into it. So, sex is a little big part of marriage. It's little, but it makes a big part of your marriage. Without this union, the marriage is no marriage. It is pretty much like a motor car spark plug. It is small, but very key to the firing of the vehicle. If your spark plug is oily and it's not properly put together, that car, it doesn't matter how powerful it is, you might have a V8 engine. If the spark plug is not right, it will not spark. That car will not fire. Hello? You know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter how big the engine is. If the spark plug is out, it is out. I remember I took my car for service a couple of months ago. Took the car back and it wasn't firing properly. It wasn't firing properly. I'm trying to put it into sport. Like, I'm like, what's wrong with this thing? It's a Ford, by the way. So I took it back. And then they took out the plug. Like, oh, there's a hairline crack on the plug. Replace the plug. After that, A for away. So guys, we need to fix this plug. Whatever is happening right now in there, in between the doors and the sheets, let's fix it because it is important. We need to view marriage as a sexual relationship. Now, it is a source of mystical union that takes place between a husband and a wife. The Bible considers it very practical as a physical act with spiritual and emotional consequences. Let's read from 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 to 5. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 to 5. Now, concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife. And let each woman have her own husband. There is a level of ownership here, saints. Own. So she owns me. Oh, yeah. She owns me. And guess what? I own her. It doesn't work one way. You want me? I want you. Let's talk about this. Okay. So, let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her. Underline that term, due to her. Due her, okay? Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. And likewise, also the wife to her husband. Verse 4, the wife, wives, listen to this. Wives, you need to hear this. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. I wish it stopped there. I wish the scriptures, I wish Paul had just stopped there. But I, man, he just blew me out of the water here. And it says there, and likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except for consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. That's one of the reasons why husbands and wives, very few of them do 40 days of prayer and fasting. Like, huh? Can't do that. Okay, it doesn't necessarily mean that when you are fasting for spiritual growth, you do not serve one another. Okay, he was just saying, by concern, you're saying we don't want to be distracted. We want to just concentrate. We just want to pay attention. Levi, why are you laughing? Says here, do not deprive one another except with concern for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Because of lack of self-control. I have heard people complain like, nothing has happened in the past 3 months. Nothing has happened. What am I supposed to do? Well, pray. Okay, so you need to note that the moment you are married, you have a duty and a responsibility to give your spouse his or her dues. The moment you get married, like Paul was stating, that you no longer have a right to your body or authority to your body, but your spouse. So when they wake up at 12 midnight, and they said, I'm hungry. I need to be fed. What you going to do? Are you going to just pretend that you are sleeping? And then tomorrow morning, there is a fight that you ignored me last night. And you're like, no, I was asleep. Okay, it's very important that we have a biblical view to this issue of sexual intimacy. Now, the primary purpose of sexual intimacy, we need to understand this, because it is God-given, because it's a ministry that God gave to the two. We need to understand why God gave us this ministry of intimacy. What's the purpose? Because when you do not know the purpose of something, abuse is inevitable. That was popularized by the late Dr. Miles Monroe. He says, if a purpose of something is not known, abuse is inevitable. Your wife is not a sex doll or a sex pet. She's your wife. We'll cover that around the position that the spouse holds. So at creation, God gave a mandate for men to what? To multiply and to subdue the earth. Now, when it comes to sex in marriage, there are two views. They are polar views. One says, in terms of sex, the purpose of sex is to have children. So there's one view that is very extreme. That is the only purpose of sex. It is to have children. That's extreme. But on the other hand, others almost disregard having children as one of the chief purposes of marriage. We need to have a very balanced view around the issue of sex. So the Bible addresses this matter. Scriptures show that bearing and raising godly children is one of the chief goals of sexual intimacy. In other words, how would we multiply in the earth? How would we grow in our numbers? That is the one way and one of the reasons why we have sexual intimacy. So, one purpose of sexual intercourse is procreation. Is to be a partner in the process of creation. to procreate, God honors you, enables you to use you to bring about a destiny. That is why the Bible says, children are a blessing from the Lord. And a marriage that comes together and they are able to bear children is the doing of the Lord. And if you are inclined to having children, it is the right thing to desire children at some point. I also know there are people who just said we're not going to have children for their own reasons. That is their own reasons, but it doesn't stop us from having this understanding that one of the purposes of sexual intimacy is for procreation. When you read in Malachi 2, verse 14, the Bible says, yet you say, why? God was complaining about how men were treating their wives. Jehovah has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your covenant wife. And did he not make you one? Yet the vestige of the Spirit is in him. And what of the one? He was seeking a godly seed. So, other version says he seeks for godly offsprings to come out of a union. So the design of God was never for children to be raised by single parents. It's not the will of God for us to have children out of wedlock, because that's not the family structure that God designed. God has designed a father, a mother to raise godly children so that the children will not be destroyed or eaten up by the land, so to speak. So one of the purposes of us coming together and consummating our marriage is to procreate, is to raise godly children. So that is purpose number one. So when you see your intimacy with your wife as an opportunity to be used by God to bring about the next generation, all of a sudden you respect that whole process of sexual intimacy. You need to have that godly view. What is the second issue, the second purpose? Reading further into scriptures, you'll find that sex is also meant to bring about pleasure in a marriage. Pleasure in a marriage. It is very fascinating that the issue of sex takes a very small portion of your time, and yet it has a great impact on your emotional state. Those of you who are married, who have experienced this, you know it doesn't take that long to be intimate with your spouse. And yet, the hormones that you produce in that process, there is a bonding that happens in the process of consummation that brings you together, that enables you, in actual fact, that process of intimacy has the potential to resolve some petty fights. Hello? Yes. It has potential of resolving some petty fights because of the hormonal situation that you go through in the moment of consummation. Where there was anger before, where there was a level of bitterness or resentment, because of that moment of serving one another, you come out of that moment of ministry. I'm calling it ministry. You know, you need to see it that way. In that moment of ministering to one another, you come out of it in a place where you are disarmed. And you find that sometimes some small issues, you actually find there was no big issue to fight over. This is very, very important. So it brings pleasure to us. And that is the design of God, for you to be to pleasure one another. That is why sometimes when you are involved in that moment, it's not just a moment of having your mouth shut. It's a moment of conversing. Hello? Are you guys getting a bit uncomfortable here? It's a moment of conversation. The more you talk in the process, the more you are able to minister well to one another. Oh, I'm using Christian lingo here. I'm trying to remain Christian here, right? I'm doing a good job, right? You are serving somebody. Just picture yourself as a waitress. You are waiting on your husband. My Lord, what can I do for you? My Lord, how shall we do this today? When you do that, all of a sudden, okay, you guys need to be closing your ears at the back there, right? But this is the whole point. When it comes to intimacy, we need to see it as a serving moment where you are serving your spouse. If you serve your spouse well, guess what? They will serve you well. Very, very important. Proverbs 5, verse 18. It says, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth." Rejoice with the wife of your youth. It means that if you are to bring pleasure to one another, you've got to learn sometimes to be spontaneous about it. Sometimes you've got to plan for it. In our busy schedules, you will find that unless you plan for your moment of intimacy, you will never get it right. I want you to think about your days. Every Monday, Tuesday, there's always something that happens, especially when you start having kids doing sports. Hello? They can run your life until you are not able to actually get to this point of your marriage, and it dies a natural death. So, the second purpose of intimacy, it is to pleasure one another. So, that's the second, if you can bring that slide up. So, the second purpose is to bring pleasure. Now, let's look at the third one. We found this in one of the scriptures. We have found that in 1 Corinthians 7, a healthy sexual relationship is a guard against sexual temptation. Some of the reasons why there are infidelities in our homes, it is because nothing has been happening back at the ranch for a long time. It is because somebody feels, you know what, they don't want me. And yet when they go to work, somebody really appreciates them. They comment their hair, they comment their shoes, they comment how they have toned down. You've really toned these days. Your skin is glowing. You look so amazing. But at the ranch, nothing is happening. Nobody is noticing the hair. Nobody is seeing the toning down. They are complaining and complaining. And then guess what? They go on a business trip. It becomes a trip with benefits. The issue here is when we don't do this thing aright, it has a potential to create these doors opening in our marriage. That is why we need to pay attention to this aspect. Why? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5, do not deprive. Can you see the word used? Deprive. When you are deprived of something, you try to find ways of meeting that area's need. You will find a way. So do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting, to prayer, and come back together so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You are not made of steel. You are flesh and blood. You have emotions. You have emotional triggers. You are triggered by certain things. When this area is not working, you'd find that other areas easily get affected. You become very touchy. You become very prickly. You become very edgy in terms of your conversation. Why? Because somebody in his heart, he feels, I've been deprived. Very, very important. So these are the three purposes of sex: procreation, pleasure, and protection. So for anything else, if it is just to protect your marriage, do what you've got to do. Okay? When I get into this. Now, you need to have realistic expectations. The stuff that you see on Hollywood movies, that thing cannot just be recreated every single night. You've got to work on it. I'm sorry to say, it's not going to be steamy all the time. A good sexual relationship may not develop on its own. It requires hard work. You cannot expect to harvest where you haven't sowed. If the green on the other side, so if the grass is green on the other side and yours is gray, do what they're doing there and you'll have green lawns. Hello? If a couple looks really in love and things are working for them, don't convert them. Don't just say, oh, I wish I would. No, look at your own field and plow your field. Invest in your marriage. Do what you have to do. So TV programs and movies portray sex in a very unrealistic manner, creating destructive expectations among couples. If you have the wrong expectation and you get into a marriage and you're hoping that it's going to be steamy every single night, and one night nothing happens, another night nothing happens, you're going to get disappointed. And then you start thinking, I'm going to test drive somewhere else. I want that, what I saw. No, that's a wrong expectation. Now, listen to me. If you don't plan for it, it is not going to work. The amount of effort you put into building intimacy will determine the quality of your sexual encounters. If you don't plan for it, if you don't freshen up your bed, if you don't make sure that your sheets are clean and they smell good, if you don't make sure that your lingerie is great, your underwears, right, your box shorts, hockeys, something like that. If you don't make sure that it's freshened up, you're going to have problems. You are there with your box shorts that haven't been changed for 3 weeks, and your wife is closing her nose. You're like, no, but I mean, you haven't put in the laundry basket. It has been under your pillow all these weeks. Mm-hmm. Come on now. We have to talk about this. We have to be very practical about these matters. If you don't work on yourselves, it's not just going to work on the click of a finger. We have to plan for it. You know, I was telling my wife, one of the things that I struggle to do is to go buy her nightwear. I do it, but I struggle. I go into Woolies. I'm like, checking around. I'm like, okay, I know the size, but these other ladies are looking at me and like, what is this dude doing here? What is it? I feel so bad. I struggle, but I still get her stuff because I want her to look in a certain way. So if you want me to look a certain way, make me look that. Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible talks about how Jesus washes the church with the word. He washes the church with the word so that he can present her to himself blameless without wrinkles. What it means is that Jesus capacitates the church to look good for him. You husbands, you capacitate your wife to look the way you want her to look. Don't complain about the way she looks whilst you haven't done anything about the wardrobe. Hello? Hello, somebody. Am I talking to you here? I look like I've lost you. You've got to work on this. If it is going to work, you can have a level of steaminess in this process, but you need to work on it. It is very, very important. You cannot be out there with the boys all day long and the next thing you expect steaminess in the bed. No, you want to reap where you haven't sown. Spend time with me. Prepare the meals with me. Do the dishes with me. Tell me some little sweet nothing. Make me feel that it's me in this world, no other one. And then, before you know it, before you leave the shower, it's all fine. It's all sorted. So sometimes you leave the shower and 3 hours down the road, nothing has happened. Why? You haven't been around. You haven't plowed the field. Come on, guys. Am I talking sense here? DJ, you're crazy. You're fully agree, right? Yeah. You've got to work on this. The whole day you haven't even WhatsApped and telling her some little sweet nothing there. You prepare the road even from 7 a.m. for what will happen at 11 p.m. Some are like diesel engines. Women are like diesel engines. They take time to warm up. But now, talk about that. There you go. You gents are like microwaves. And the ladies are like the oven. It takes time. It needs to heat up. And you haven't heated up the engine. And now all of a sudden, you're like, the microwave is ready. It's like, no, the oven is just getting started. I'm just saying, guys, you can't just put in the cake in there before the oven is heated to 180. So, what am I saying? If you don't plan for it, it's not going to work. This is very key. As we go out there today, let's relook at what we're going to be doing. So, that's the first issue. Sex is both a matter of passion and duty. I need to say this. Imagine you're going through a stressful season. And guess what? If you are stressed, it tends to shut down certain hormones. It tends to affect certain hormonal issues in your life that you don't feel like it. You don't. If somebody would ask you, are you up to it? Your honest answer would be like, you know what? No, I'm not up to it. And you'll be honest. But the Bible gives us a different take. The whole issue of sexual intimacy is both passion and duty. That is why Paul is saying, you have no authority over your body, for it now belongs to your spouse. Do not deprive them of their dues. So the notion that you can only engage in sexual intimacy when you are in the mood and when you feel like it has ruined a lot of marriages. Sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, sometimes you involve yourself sexually until you are in the state, until you feel like it. But at the beginning, the starting point is, I'm going to do it because I know I need to do it. There are some people who say, Michael, I don't think that's a lower grade. That's a lower grade of intimacy. No, that's immaturity in you as a person. Where you understand that I might not be in a good space, but my other is in need. Remember, one of the purposes is to protect. Do you know why a lot of husbands cheat on their wives during the time of pregnancy? It's because during the times of pregnancy, I normally tell guys, you lose your wife for almost 9 months. Okay? I'm talking about from the 6th month of pregnancy. And then another 3 months after giving birth, you've got no wife. What you going to do? Hello, somebody. Clive, you know what I'm talking about. Right, so, okay. Very, very important for us to manage these situations. How do we manage these circumstances? So, life happens to such an extent that you might not feel like it for weeks without end. Then what? Then what? So there are times in every marriage when one or the other partner enters the sexual relationship more out of duty than passion. It's not a substandard issue. You understand the principle. You understand what is due to your spouse. And therefore, you stand outside of yourself. Remember, a Christian marriage is not about receiving, it's about giving. That's what it is. Christian marriage is the picture between Jesus and the church. It's about giving. And therefore, in those days where you are off, what do? You step into it because you want to serve the person. It's not always easy to serve. It's not always easy to serve, but we do serve. So, this can only happen when you understand that in marriage you are meant to serve and to minister to your spouse. Now, in the process of serving and ministering to your spouse, a happy and healthy relationship can grow and develop. Because I'm telling you, when you do that, your spouse really understands that she's not in a good space, but she's doing this for me. Now, he will do better in other areas. And in the process, as you do that, you find each other and your marriage becomes healthier and healthier and healthier. He will say, in my time of need, though you were not up for it, but you did it for me, I'm gonna sacrifice for you. Honey, what do you need? What is stressing you? And she will say, if you can just help me with picking the kids once a week, it will help me. If you can just help with doing the dishes. Now, because the husband was serviced last night. Hello, somebody. Come on now. This is how it works. Because she went out of her way in her discomfort, because in that moment she might not be very comfortable. In her discomfort, she ministered to you. Tomorrow, you pull down your authorities and you say, I'll do whatever I need to do to meet your needs. When you do that, you grow together. Your marriage becomes healthier and healthier and healthier. And then what was not working starts working because she's now in a better state emotionally. So when you give more, you're not losing. It will come back. That's why the Bible talks about, it was talking about relationships. When that scripture that says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. The context there was about judging. The context was the same way that you judge. With the same measure, it will be pressed down, it will be shaken together, they will throw it back to you. Now, you can apply that same principle and say, if I give more, I serve my spouse in a difficult space, guess what? I'm going to reap. In due time. The Bible says, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time you shall reap. Reaping time will come. So it is not a matter of passion only, but sometimes it will be out of duty. It's like as a pastor, you don't always feel like preaching. You don't always feel like waking up and praying, but You pray yourself into wanting to pray. I don't know if that makes sense. You love yourself into wanting to love. What it means that it's no longer just a matter of falling in love, you have decided to love. It's a decision that you make. So that's the aspect of sex is both a matter of passion and duty.